Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
Well, for the last number of weeks, we've been doing some series on things we need to be reminded of. First week we talked about reaping and sowing, and the last couple of weeks we talked about holiness. Today I want to talk about forgiving others. Forgiving others. And there may be some things in this message that you want to look back on. This sermon will be on our website probably tomorrow afternoon. And so if there's some things you want to look at, I would encourage you to do that. And so we live in a world where almost assuredly we are going to get hurt. People will do things that will offend us. People will say things that hurt us. People will call us names. We live in a world where we can be betrayed, gossiped about, taken advantage of, and hurt deeply. We live in a world, especially post-COVID, I don't know if you see this, but where some people are just mean. If you have a job working with the public, I'm not telling you anything new. Some people in our world will go out of their way to offend others. Now, if you've been a follower of Jesus for a while, you will know that the proper response when you're hurt or when you're offended is to forgive. But what I have found is that some hurts go deep, so deep, that forgiveness is hard. I mean, it's really hard. For others, we accumulate smaller offenses over time, and we don't take care of them in time, and we haven't forgiven, and stuff piles up. When that happens, it puts a weight on our soul, and we tend to become negative people. So this morning, I want to remind you about forgiveness because, well, we all need to be reminded of it from time to time. I think I should preach this sermon about every year because, well, life happens, right? And we get hurt. Let me remind you of some of the scriptures this morning. Matthew chapter 6, you just heard it read. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive you. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. There's this theme. You need to forgive to be forgiven. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. So then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sinned against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with his servants who had borrowed money from him. So in the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife and children and everything that he owed to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please, please be patient with me. I'll pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. But the fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me, and I'll pay for it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put into prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. And then the king called in the man who he'd forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to the prison to be tortured until he paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brother and sister from your heart. If you've been a follower of Jesus for a while, then you know that forgiving others is important. What you may not know is this, that forgiveness is more of an issue between you and God than it is between you and the person who hurt you. If you are a follower of Jesus, then part of forgiveness is saying, yeah, I had a great debt that was paid. So when people hurt me, this is part of me extending to others what God has extended to me. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, forgiveness is still important. There are all kinds of psychological studies that back that up. If you have some people in your life who've hurt you, I hope that this time together will help you to choose to forgive. But I'm going to talk to those of you who are followers of Jesus. We have more tools to deal with forgiveness and more motivation to forgive. So the story that we just read can be summed up by saying, well, we offended a holy God deeply. The size of our debt towards him was overwhelming. We sinned against him. Yet he chose to forgive us our sin. He erased the debt between him and us. When people offend us and hurt us, compared to what God has done for us, the debt to us from our offender is relatively minor. The verse that fascinates me is verse 34. Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Now, that seems weird to me because, you know, if you're not familiar with Jesus' audience, then you might not catch what's going on here. But they had such a thing as a debtor's prison. And we're not used to that concept, but people were imprisoned until they could pay their debt. That concept has never made sense to me, but nevertheless, debtor's prison was a real thing. And so some people, they read verse 34 and their minds go towards hell, but I don't think that that's what Jesus is talking about in this passage here. He's saying, if you refuse to forgive, you will torture your own soul. Your own soul will be tortured. So someone once said that choosing not to forgive is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies, right? That's kind of what it's like. If you hang on to your anger for long enough, it turns into unforgiveness. If you hang on to your unforgiveness for long enough, it turns into bitterness. If you become a bitter person, nobody will want to be around you, including you, because, well, it's bitter people are just not nice to hang around with. So I want to be really practical this morning so I want to talk a lot about the process of forgiveness. So when somebody sins against you, it hurts. If it's a small offense, it hurts a little. If it's a big offense, it hurts a lot. Sometimes the hurt can be devastatingly deep. But the first thing you need to understand about forgiveness is what forgiveness is not. Here's what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness does not mean that what was done to you was okay. When you forgive somebody, you're not saying, oh, that's okay. Now, that's not what forgiveness is, or it doesn't matter. The whole point of forgiveness is that what was done to you was wrong. What was done to you does matter, and you matter. In fact, forgiveness is best done when you realize the full extent of the damage that the hurt has caused you. If you forgive somebody who has committed a crime, that does not mean that forgiveness, that they should escape legal consequences. Forgiveness does not mean that your offender should escape legal consequences of what they've done. You can forgive somebody and press charges. At the same time, forgiveness is a heart matter. Charges is a matter of the law. Those two are different things. Forgiveness does not mean that your relationship is restored. Forgiveness may start the process, But having the relationship restored is partially dependent on the other person. They have to deal with what they did. Forgiveness does not mean that you trust the other person that offended you. Trust is earned. If you were abused by a parent, you can forgive them, but you are not required to entrust your kids to them. In some cases, trust can be rebuilt. In other cases, it cannot. When you grant a person forgiveness, that does not mean that that person automatically becomes safe. They don't. That trust is earned. Forgiveness is not dependent on the other person. I sometimes hear people say, well, I will forgive them if they apologize to me. If you've been hurt and offended, it's really, really nice if you get an apology from the person who hurt you. But your forgiveness is not dependent on the other person, because the health of your soul is not dependent on the other person. If you were dependent on the other person, you would be held captive by what they do, but you're not. You can and should forgive a person whether or not they apologize to you. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is choosing to pay the pain and emotional consequences of what was done to you. When somebody hurts you, that's pain. And you, when you choose, you're going to choose, okay, that's my pain. You are choosing to take that person out of your hands and put him or her into God's hands. And you're choosing to let your go of your demand for emotional justice. Let me talk about that for a few minutes. When you were sinned against, when you were hurt, when you were offended, sometimes it's a little hurt, sometimes it's a big hurt, but you were hurt. And when you're hurt, our human reaction is we want that person to pay. We want that person to pay for what they've done to me. Did really, though, forgiveness doesn't matter what the person has done or doesn't do, the emotional pain is still going to be there for you. You know, we try to sometimes soften the blow. We tell ourselves these stories, well, they didn't really understand what they were doing. Or we try to soften the pain by saying, well, that person really doesn't matter anyways. But no matter the story that we tell ourselves, when somebody hurts you, the pain is there and it's deep and it's yours. Sometimes matters of the soul are hard to envision. The names you recalled, the betrayal you felt, the shame that was foisted on you is easy to feel but hard to envision. So instead of envisioning the pain in your soul, imagine instead of hurting your soul that the offender cut you with a knife. So they cut your arm with a knife. The pain you feel is real, and it's your pain. You didn't cause it, probably didn't deserve it, but nevertheless, it's yours. Forgiveness says, I'm going to choose to pay for that pain. I'm going to feel it. It's my pain. Now, the reality is that you're going to pay the price for your pain regardless of what the person does, right? That pain is yours. And the person can say, I'm sorry, but the pain is still there. And so you own the pain and you say, that's something you can do with it. You can say, yeah, the pain's mine. And you could, of course, demand that they pay for the pain. And that's what some people do. You offended me, I'm going to offend you. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, that's the way we're going to live. But that's not the Jesus way. Jesus' way says, oh, you hurt me. I'm going to choose to own that pain, and I'm going to forgive. More than likely, owning the pain, if we don't own the pain, we'll curse them to everyone who listens, or we'll plot revenge in our hearts, or sometimes we'll nurture the pain. Sometimes, you know, we've been offended, and what we do is that cut, we just keep on prodding it to remind us about how much they hurt us, right? And we keep just on digging in, and we hurt more and more. Others of us do the opposite. We ignore the pain and pretend that, well, it doesn't hurt. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Yeah, right. We pretend the pain isn't there. It'll go away. And that's where my analogy with the knife breaks down. A knife wound may heal on its own, but wounds of the soul don't tend to go away over time. So here's the process of forgiveness. The way to healing is to own your own pain. I'm hurting. The pain is mine. I need to deal with the pain. So here's what it means to own the pain. Let me walk you through how to forgive. Now, in an ideal world, I would recognize that I've been hurt, I've been offended, my soul has been wounded, and I own the pain and say, this pain in my soul, nobody can deal with that except for me. I can try to blame, I can try to be the victim, I can do all kinds of other things, but the pain really is my pain, and here's what I'm going to choose to do with it. I am going to choose to forgive. I am going to choose to forgive. I'm not going to get revenge. I'm not going to get them to try to pay for the pain. I'm going to let it go and choose to forgive. And I'm going to give that person into the hands of God. So, Lord, I choose to forgive. I give you this person. One of the signs that you've forgiven is that you have an open heart to that person. In our ideal world, while you're forgiven, on the left-hand side, you see the offender. God's working in their heart, or something's working in their heart, and they recognize, oh, that they've hurt you. And so they confess and say, they come to you and say, yeah, I really, what I did was wrong. And they repent and say, I'm sorry, I hope never to do that again. And they seek forgiveness. Please forgive me. And that's the basis for reconciliation in a relationship, right? A person is forgiven. A person owns it and asks for forgiveness. Forgiveness is given. And reconciliation becomes possible, assuming again that the person is safe and those sorts of things. Sometimes that can happen, and because of the situation, reconciliation really isn't possible, or the depth of a relationship that you would like isn't really possible. Now, that's the process in an ideal world. I don't know about you, though, but my world is often not ideal, right? Many people who hurt you will not acknowledge that they're part in the hurt. So what do you do? Well, if you're the offended party, you do the same thing, right? You recognize the hurt, you own the pain, you choose to forgive, you put the pain into God's hand, you choose to forgive because of how much you've been forgiven. Forgiveness is more about what is between you and God than between you and the other offender. Here's a simple prayer that you might pray. It's like this. Lord Jesus, I choose to forgive Frank for I heard him call me names. I heard he was gossiping about me. I'm willing to pay the emotional pain for that consequence of what was done for me. I desire to be free and love and be open-hearted to the person who hurt me. I want to be kind and tender-hearted towards them. I choose to forgive. Prayer like that, just I'm choosing to forgive the offender. That, we'll come back to that prayer. But if you choose to pray a prayer like that, that is the start of forgiveness. When you choose to own the pain, and you choose to forgive, and you pray this prayer, Lord, I'm choosing to forgive my friend or my enemy, whoever it is, I'm choosing to forgive them, here's what often happens. Lord, yeah, I choose to forgive them. I release them into your hands. Yeah, it's painful, but it's my pain, and I've got to deal with it. So, Lord, I'm choosing to forgive. And then you see the person. What happens when you see the person? Your guts start to churn, and your anger starts to churn, and it's like, oh, man, they hurt me, you sense to say I've chosen to forgive, but I'm holding on to the pain, and I'm so sorry, Lord. Please forgive me, but you're owning the pain. And here's what we're tempted to do. We're tempted to mull over the offense. Oh, man, I can't believe they did that to me. I can't believe what happened. I can't believe that was said. And you go over and over the offense in your own mind. Or you start to tell others about the offense. You know what she did to me? You know what he did to me, and you spew all the stuff that happened? Or you bring up the offense of the person. I remember when you, and you bring that up. Now there is a time to bring up the offense of the person. That's in the process of forgiving. There may be a time, and yeah, it's situation by situation, but there may be a time where you go to the person and say, hey, I was really hurt by what you did. And you do that. And you try to deal with the relationship that way, but there comes a time when you say, I choose to forgive, I choose to let go of this, but then you see them, you feel the hurt, you mull over the offense, and you're bringing it up to other people, and you're bringing the offense up to the other person, and whenever those things are going on, you know you haven't forgiven. And so you come to your senses, and you see, you get to this place where you're willing to forgive the hurt, and you're willing to pay for the emotional pain, and then you see that person, and you start mulling all over it again, and what do? Well, you come to your senses and say, Lord, I forgave them, I'm sorry, please forgive me. You ask for forgiveness. Lord, I release them into your hands. And you see the person again, and you start to mull it over and mull it over. And then you say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I release it into your hands. I've got that cycle really well worn. I don't know about you, but I've been around that cycle again and again and again, right? I think God honors perseverance in that. I think that the God sees a heart like that, and if you persevere, your hurt eventually diminishes. But there's a better way. When you get to the place where you're willing to forgive, and when you own your own hurt, you're willing to pay the pain and emotional consequences that have been done for you, the next thing you need to do is bring the hurt to Jesus. See, Jesus wants to heal your hurt. He really does. Jesus is the doctor of the soul. He's the great physician. I believe Jesus can and does, and I've seen it happen often where He deals with the hurt. But it often isn't a simple prayer. Lord, I'm hurting, please heal the hurt. That's not usually the prayer, kind of prayer that Jesus enters into and does the healing for. Often it isn't a simple prayer. I found it's more helpful to ask Jesus some questions and allow him to impress on my mind or your mind about what's actually going on. I would say that if the hurt is really deep, that you may need somebody else to walk with you through this process. You start by asking Jesus, what is this hurt doing to my heart? He'll often give you a concept or a picture or something, a vision that you'll just get this sense of what's happening in your heart, what this pain has been doing to you. And then you pray a prayer or something like, Lord, have I believed a lie in the middle of this pain? You see, often when we're hurt deeply, our enemy uses that hurt to instill a lie. Oh, you're really not good enough. Or you really are a screw up. Or you really are not a good person. And oftentimes we're hurt deeply because of other lies we believe, and it links into that lie, and the lie goes deep. And so you start to talk to Jesus, and you say, Lord, is there a lie that I have believed? Is there a lie that I have believed about me? And as you start to listen, you'll start to sense percolating to the surface some of the lies that you believed. So what do you do with that? You confess those lies to Jesus. Lord, I'm sorry that I believe the lie. Here's the truth that you've said about me. I choose to own that truth. Then you ask Jesus, okay, what do you want to do with it? What do you want to do about my hurt? Often it'll be, I want to touch you and I want to release you. I want to set you free. And Jesus comes and he talks to our heart, and he can release in a moment the hurt that you've carried for a year and years. You talk with him and you say, Lord, what do you want to do? And so you ask him, Lord, if you want to do that, please do that in my life. And you allow him to enter into those places that are deep, and you release the offender to him. But more than anything else, you let Jesus heal your heart in the middle of that. Are there some people or a person in your life where you have not yet chosen to forgive? You know the hurt is there. You know that, yeah, it's painful. If it is, are you willing to pray this prayer, the prayer that we talked about earlier? Prayer that says, Lord Jesus, I choose to forgive that person for how they hurt me. And you name the offense. I'm willing to pay for the pain. The pain's mine. They can't take it away. I've got to deal with the stuff that's in my life, what was done to me. I desire to be free, to love, and to be open-hearted to that person who hurt me. I want to be kind and tender-hearted towards them. I choose to forgive. Is there a person's name, an offense you need to put in there? Then you may want to say, Lord, you know the hurt that's been there for a long time. Lord, I bring the hurt of my heart to you. And I encourage you to take some time with this. We don't have time right now to, because this will probably be a process. But you start to ask, Lord, what has this hurt done to my heart? Is there something you want to do about that hurt, Lord? Lord, will you do that? Lord, is there a lie that I believed in the middle of that hurt? What's the truth? What's the truth about me? He Here's what Jesus says. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. It's for freedom that Christ set you free. You can be free, but you'll need to choose to forgive. Let's pray. So, Lord, hurt comes to all of us. And especially when the hurt is deep, it's hard to forgive. But even while I have been speaking, there have been people here who have been thinking about that hurt, that offender. I'm asking, Lord, by the power of your name, that you would give them the grace to forgive, to choose to forgive, to own their own pain, turn that pain over to you, and allow you to heal it. Lord, we live in a world where stuff happens regularly that we need to forgive. Help us to be quick to forgive. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.